Well, they said that once before, and it happened.
Love
with Boston,
talk
New York,
radio.
Though.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is...
What?
My name is...
Dr. Drake.
Mr. Robert Ford.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Let's go.
What's up, America? How you guys doing? I feel like JQ, man. I need some therapy, man. Just not a good day.
Yeah, that was,
so that's okay.
Hey, that was rough.
Hey, you still up 2-1.
Mm-hmm.
Just Atlanta sports, though. We just have this knack of, you know, just not closing the deal, man. So, you know, if we were up 3-1, we'd still be – or 3-0, we'd be a little more confident. But just, I don't know. It's just the nature of Atlanta sports for some reason. I don't know. We're going to try to hold on. But welcome. You know, again, another awesome edition of Talk Sports 12 News. We got the fellas here. And, yeah, let's check in. Hopefully I got everyone, Curtis, Gary, Rob, JQ. Let's start it off, do a quick little roll call with Mr. JQ. You doing all right this evening, sir?
Oh, yeah, man, I'm hanging in there. Just chilling out. My computer is at the office, so I won't be on the Zoom. But I'm doing all right. I watched that game. I feel for my people that are Braves fans. That's a tough one, but like Rob said, you're still up 2-1. You're still in control.
All right. Rob, what you got for me, bro?
Hey, just excited. Obviously, this is a unique time, the sports time, where you actually have Major League Baseball, you have the NFL, you have college football, and now the NBA and NHL starting. So you have all the major sports kind of going on at once here. So it's quite an exciting period to be a sports fan right now.
I thought you were excited that LSU was going to get rid of Ed Orgeron. That's what I thought you were excited about, honestly. But, you know, come back to that.
That's a given. Hey, I'm excited about that, too. I'm excited about our future and, you know, and what's next. But obviously, thanks to Ed Orgeron and helping us win the national championship in 1 year. But hey, it's time for a change in Baton Rouge.
We all know the real reason for that championship was Joe Brady. So, but again, you better pack up the brink truck for that, man. If that's even an option, but
it wasn't
you know,
totally Joe Brady, though.
Okay, all right, we'll see. Let's check in with Gary. How you feeling, man? Riding on that Cowboy tie. What? Come on, let's get it.
Hey, it's still early in the season, you know. This is early in the season, but it was neat. It was neat to watch Dak do what he did. You know, he put it on Belichick's defense. That was great.
Yeah.
More points, more passing yards against Belichick's defense than I think than anyone has. So I mean that says something.
I don't know if we can still call it early. We are a third of the way through the season now. So, I mean, you're kind of getting a glimpse of who you think is going to be there. But if I was a Cowboys fan, I'd be a little worried about Dak and that calf.
Ooh, that's a good call. Dang, JQ always brings things back to earth, man. Appreciate you.
The only good thing,
I mean,
the only good thing for Dak and the Cowboys is that they're on a bye week this week, so that kind of helps them a little bit.
Yep.
Yeah. But the wide receiver had the calf strain too for the Cowboys, right? Gallup, and he hasn't been heard from in 5 games since then. So that's what I say that if one dude, I mean, I know wide receiver is a different position, pushing off or not, but that's Dak's plant leg, you know what I mean? So, yeah. You know, I'm not wishing anything bad on him, but, you know, they're off to a good start, and that is Cooper Rush is not the guy to come in and keep it moving.
Nope, not at all. And then you look at
what
the Cleveland Browns are going through at the running back position. They got two running backs with a calf injury that's going to be out here, Kareem Hunt, Nick Chubb. So
yep.
Definitely something to take serious. I mean, the Saints starting center, Eric McCoy, went down in week one with a calf injury. He hasn't been back yet.
Mm-hmm. Well, when this is what you need this time of year, this is when you need a little bit of luck on your side. And typically that team that ends up getting there and, you know, and winning the Super Bowl, it's this time of year where some of these injuries, you know, they're able to work their, themselves through them. But I got I got one question for JQ. JQ, would you put would you rather have Cooper Rush or would you rather have the Red Rocket in there to replace Dak if you were with the Cowboys?
Oh, I would rather have Cooper Rush. You can name just about anybody next to Andy Dalton. I'm going to choose that guy. So I would rather have Cooper Rush for sure. I'll give you that one.
Evening, gentlemen.
What's up? All right. What's up, Curtis? Is Curtis in the building?
Hey. Glad to be here, sir.
Yeah, of course.
Every day above ground is a good day. Every day
there it
above
is.
Ground is a good day. Thursday, two teams that got their butts kicked on Sunday. Two teams that took a beating are going to play. Who's going to step up? Who's going to get behind that butt kicking and take the season back over? That's my interest in the next couple of days because those two teams got taught a lesson and how good they think they were. Now, they got to pick it back up.
How do you suggest?
We're going to talk about that because, you know, and I kind of agree with JQ. We're kind of, you know, third of the season here. Some teams are starting to emerge. Obviously, you saw the great game by the Ravens, putting that butt kicking on the Chargers. Obviously, we're going to talk about what the Cardinals are doing. Again, you know, just some good stuff. And, you know, for some reason, the Bears can't seem to, you know, beat Aaron Rodgers. So a lot of things to discuss, gentlemen. But let's kind of kick it off with some Rob kicked it off with some NBA preseason predictions and whatnot, too. So, obviously, preseason is starting. Excuse me, the regular season is starting, if you will, tonight. Obviously, we got the Warriors playing the Lakers. So that plays out. A lot of good games, Rob. So I'll kick it off with you, sir, and kind of get a quick glimpse as far as what's happening. And, you know, this is for JQ and Rob to kind of bounce a little bit back and forth about your preview and some predictions for the season, if you will.
Yeah, and I'll keep it brief or as brief as possible. I'll just start with the top two in each conference. And you know, I mean, I think we got a sneak peek at the top two in the Eastern Conference tonight, and I think it's going to be the Nets and the Bucks when it's all said and done. Even though the self-proclaimed big shot maker Kyrie Irving won't actually take the actual big shot that he actually needs to help his team right now.
Oh my gosh! I know you wait for that.
Love it. How true it is.
And obviously, you know, I think the Nets are the clear favorite if you have Kyrie Irving. But without him, you know, where are they? I think the Nets are still a contender. Obviously, but you can see tonight that the Bucks are in top-notch form. They look like they're in championship form tonight. Giannis just flat-out outstanding tonight, over 30-something points, double-digit rebounds, at, close to 8 assists, getting it done on the defensive end. And they're going to somehow need to get Kyrie Irving back, and they're going to need to overtake the over the Bucks, and if they do, I think they can overtake the Bucks. But right now, without them, I think the Bucks would be slightly better. And then when you look at the Western Conference,
unfortunately,
I think it's going to be the Lakers and the Suns, the two best teams in the Western Conference, with the Lakers coming out on top. If the Nets somehow get Kyrie, I think they're the favorite to win the championship. I really do. But without them, I think the Lakers would be the favorite to win the championship. This year, you know, looking at it, you know, at this current moment, if the teams are all healthy, obviously. And then when you look at the MVP race, I think it's going to come down to Giannis and Kevin Durant. I'm going to go the early pick being Giannis, taking the MVP this year. I know the Joker won it from Denver last year, but I'm going to go with Giannis as the early pick. And I like Jalen Green for Rookie of the Year from Houston. I think he's going to be a special, special player and a special scorer in this league. You know, I know Cade Cunningham was the number one pick, but I like Jalen Green to be the Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, I concur. I think Jalen Green, he's got that it factor. He believes in himself. But sometimes you need to do with just irrational confidence that's not afraid to take the big shot, and I think he's that guy. So I think that's a good call. I think for MVP, I'm leaning right now towards Kevin Durant. I know LeBron is pretty pissed he didn't get any votes, but to your point, if they don't have Kyrie to keep that ship right until when, if he comes back, Kevin Durant is going to have to be a monster. And I think he's going to want to show and prove that he can still carry that Nets team without Kyrie. So my leaning right now is for Kevin Durant. I think I don't know if I can go with the Suns. The reason why I can't go with the Suns is part of the reason we have it as a topic. I think they're going to have a problem with Ayton this year and the fact that he's upset with management for not giving him that contract. And I agree with the Suns management. Uh-huh. He's not in that class yet. But I think that's going to be something that may fester. And they need him to play like he did last year to get to that point. And if he's not happy, I don't know if he will. That West is so loaded. I don't know. I feel like this might be the year that we get that L.A. showdown that we've been waiting for in the Western Conference Final. But we'll see. It's hard to bet on the Clippers because they do Clipper things. And just something else
but
to add to
Kawhi
it.
Kawhi Leonard might be out the whole season, though.
Well, he you know what? Oh, yeah, that's true. He might be out the whole season. Well, I rescind that then. I don't know about the Clippers. I don't know who's going to really do it. We've got Murray still coming back for Denver. I feel like Ayton's going to be a malcontent in that locker room for Phoenix. I tell you my dark horse, and they're playing tonight, and it's Golden State. If they get Clay back, you know, a little bit before Christmas, and they can get that jail back together. Because, I mean, that's still that team that won all those games. They're going to maybe knock somebody out of the playoffs and get a deep run going. So that's my dark horse in the West. And my dark horse in the East are the Heat. Getting Kyle Lowry, you can get a healthy Bam, a healthy Jimmy Butler. They can shoot the ball with Hero and Duncan. Like, they've got a little of everything that you need for a team that, you know, we're not going to talk about them really. We're going to say, oh, they're a nice story. And they might make another run like they did 2 years ago. So I agree with Rob, you know, around the top, maybe not the Suns, but you know, I just put those two dark horse teams in there for you.
Yeah, I like the dark horse pick of the Heat. I think the Heat are the third best team in the Houston Conference. And then you got to watch the Hawks. I think the Hawks have a chance to be the fourth seed. You know, a lot of things in flux with the 76ers, and I know we're going to talk about that a little bit with Ben Simmons. And even the Celtics, you know, and some of the moves that they've made over the last couple of years. I mean, I know they got Dennis Schroeder, but, you know, is he going to be the answer for them at the point guard? They went back and got Al Horford. And so when I look at the Eastern Conference right now, I look at obviously the Bucks and the Nets. But then when I look at that second tier, I'm looking at the Heat and the Hawks right now.
Yeah.
Well, if I'm talking about the Western Conference, and I'm just going to give you my 1 through 8. I'm going to go with the Lakers, the Jazz, the Warriors, Denver, the Clippers. I think Phoenix is going to regress. They're in the 6th spot. Dallas and Portland in the 8th spot. In the Eastern Conference, I got the Bucks, the Nets, the Heat, the Bulls, Atlanta, and I flipped them back and forth. Then the Celtics, Philadelphia, and then Charlotte in the 8th spot.
Ooh, you got the Knicks falling out. Okay.
Wow. I like the pick of the Bulls, though. That's a gutsy call. I think they could be a sleeper team, too. I mean, I like the acquisitions of Lonzo Ball and DeMar DeRozan for the Bulls. I really do. And hopefully you got Laurie Markkanen now healthy, too, for the Bulls. And then, you know, the guy with Zach Levine, who I think,
Mark
in Cleveland.
Yeah.
Who's in Cleveland?
Markkanen, he's in Cleveland.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. But yeah, I definitely like them as a surprise pick.
Yeah.
It's going to be entertaining.
Good stuff. What you got there? Yeah. It's definitely going to be entertaining. Curtis, you agree with all that, Curtis?
Yeah, pretty much it's this season, though, the two idiots kind of got my attention, and that's that Ben Simmons, which
oh my
I don't
gosh,
figure
yeah,
out why they should just rip up his contract and send him on his way. just rip up the contract and say, you're fired, and then go on his way. And then Kyrie Irving, man. But I will say this. State troopers in the state of Washington and Oregon, there's almost 200 of them that lost their jobs over that issue. Some hospital workers have lost their jobs on that issue. Mandate. Let's get past this. Let the whole nation get past this. And they bring up that issue. My other thing is Damian Lillard says he has confidence in this team. I don't see it. I don't see it. But Damian, I know he wants to win. And I know they want to go far in the playoffs. So, with that said, it's going to be interesting to see what they can do. Because I think Damian is fed up. He wants to be on a winner. And this is the prove-it year. So let's prove it.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. He gave Chauncey Billups a vote of confidence, too. He's like he's pleased, and he definitely wants to play for Chauncey Billups. So, you know, that's pretty cool to see. A guy that really wants to stay with the team he was drafted by and you know, and play for Chauncey Billups. So that would be interesting. You know, whenever you got your star guy kind of buying in, that just kind of bodes well for the rest of the team. So, you know, that could – you know, I don't think the Blazers are a championship contender, but – you know, they could possibly move into that, you know, that 5, 6, or 7 range.
Good stuff. And I guess, and it was good, Curtis, because you definitely hit on what the elf in the room is regarding, you know, obviously Ben Simmons. And at this juncture, you know, if you're the 76ers, you know it's going to be a losing situation if you try to make that trade. So, Rob, let's talk about that. They suspend Ben. If you will, and, you know, it just seems like I think everyone's talking about how talented the 76ers are, but I think this is like a dark cloud on that team, you know, so it's definitely going to affect them as well. What say you about that, Rob?
Well, number one, Ben Simmons got to be a professional. If he wants to be traded, the best way for him to get traded is to go in there and be a professional and perform, because his stock will rise, and that will help the organization trade him, and it will also help Philly get more return for him. Right now, what NBA team would want to trade for Ben Simmons, especially after the performance he had in the playoffs last year, and then on top of that, when you look at the way he's acting right now, it's being unprofessional.
Yeah.
And, you know, what team is going to want to trade another star for a player who's being the malcontent right now? And, I mean, right now he's not helping himself.
Uh-oh.
And right now the Sixers are in a very bad place. Because you know, you got one of your star players, so-called star players, just acting all willy-nilly, right? And you know, you can't, if you do trade him, you can't get anything for him in return. You know, other than maybe a draft pick or a Buddy Hield kind of player, right? You're not going to get another superstar. If Ben Simmons wants to be traded, he needs to come in there and be professional. He needs to come in there and shine, so his stock can improve, and it would help the Sixers be able to trade him.
It's too late for that.
I think good advice for you.
It's too late. The other side of that, though.
Yeah.
Sorry,
good,
go ahead.
Good, Jake. No, you're good.
The reason why I say that is because, again, this is all Philadelphia's doing. When your head coach comes out there and says, I don't know if he can be, you know, a point guard on the championship team, and Daryl Morey says the things he says, and then B, you know, well, we had a guy, we would have got some points, but he gave it up and we missed the free throw. Like, when they all say that, and then you find that dude for not showing up, and I get it, you can do that as an organization, or they could have not have tried to make sure they kind of made nice with Ben Simmons. They came out publicly and told him about finding me, and then so he had to come back in. I'm not overly surprised. I'm surprised that it was that far, that fast. But you invited that back into the house. And again, to your question, Rob, everybody would trade for Ben Simmons. It's only about the asking price. to Philadelphia, they tanked his, you know, he messed himself up, don't get me wrong, with his performance. But then when they came out and said those things about him right afterwards, when they invited him to make him come back after finding him for this thing, they are actively helping in reducing his value. So I believe a whole bunch of teams would trade for him. They just won't trade for him for the value that Philadelphia wants back for him. So Philadelphia is also complicit in this by about how the way they handled it as well. So you got two sides, Ben Simmons and Philadelphia, not handling it well. But Philadelphia definitely that could be deserves some blame for this. Because, you know, when your GM, your head coach, and your best player all come out and say negative things about him, what did you think was going to happen? Like, you wasn't going to come in like, you know, buddy, I'm good. I'm just going to ball out for y'all and then trade me. He's like, y'all, I don't care what kind of value y'all get from me. I want out. So do what you need to do. But it's over. So his mind is not about what Philadelphia gets in return. He don't care.
Yep, that's true. JQ, what you got?
I'm just saying.
Gary's on that. Look at that. Hey, really quickly, just so I guess, and we'll throw it out to the to Curtis and Gary, and I guess anyone who wants to chime about, why do you think the Suns didn't extend, you know, DeAndre Ayton? And I guess we know why, because he's not that dude just yet. I think you said it earlier, JQ, too, because, you know, obviously there's a couple contracts he had to get signed, and Chris Paul had to get his money. So there's a couple things that happened with that, too. But, you know, DeAndre, you know, you're still a pretty young player, man. So what's next for the Suns?
Well, I think what happens is that if go ahead, Rob. My bad.
No, go ahead, JQ.
Well, I think, you know, what they do is they still have the right to match doing that. He'll still be restricted, I believe, in RFP, except like a one-year deal. He'll then become unrestricted. I forget the exact pieces of it.
He wants to
be paid with dudes that have done it for years. You got to think about it. Going into last year, we were all worried about was Ayton going to be a bust. And then Chris Paul got there and helped push him and helped mold him into a better player. And he had that one good year, and he had it. And I give him credit. He had a good playoff push. But, you know, can I turn that into it, if I'm the Phoenix management, into a five-year super, you know, rookie deal or whatever it is that he was looking for? Like, he's, you know, he said he wanted Trae Young money. And it's like, come on, DeAndre. Now you can't look yourself in the mirror and really think that you're supposed to get Trae Young money. So I get Phoenix being like, no, just because everybody else got paid, they proved it. The Trae Youngs, the Lucas of the world, they earned that money. You haven't earned that money yet. So, you know, we'll give you a shorter deal. And don't get it wrong, he was going to get a whole lot of money. He turned down a really good contract. It ain't like it was like, I'll give him 2 years for $20 million. Like, it was going to be over $100 million-something dollars in that deal they wanted to give him. So don't cry for DeAndre Ayton. Like, he was going to get paid and turned it down. But I'm with Phoenix. I need to see a little more before I give him that kind of money. He is in no way, shape, or form in Trae Young's stratosphere in terms of the same contract. No way.
He tried. He asked him, man. Shoot the shot.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I totally agree with that. Yeah. I mean, I think the Phoenix Suns are making a smart business decision here, right? And I think what we've seen a lot in the NBA over the last few years, we've just seen them just giving out these huge contracts. Like, it's just like crazy, right? You know, but I think the Phoenix Suns are making the right decision here. And I think if you're DeAndre Ayton, if that's what you want, you better come out and have a monster year this year and prove that you're worthy of that. I mean, just as JQ mentioned, he's probably in the range of a four-year $100 million or four-year $120 million range based on what the NBA is giving out in contracts right now, right? But he's not in that max stratosphere right now. I mean, and if he wants that, he's got to come on and have a monster year. And he will be a restricted free agent at the end of this year. So the Suns will be able to match any offer that's given to him, as mentioned earlier. So they still have a little bit of protection. Obviously, long term, if Phoenix wants to be competitive, they're going to need Aiden, right? You know, you just don't want to lose a player of that caliber. But they got to find the right price. But like I said, if Ayton wants more money, he's got to come out this year and average 22, 23 points a game, 13, 14 rebounds, 4 or 5 block shots. He's going to have to be in that kind of stratosphere if he wants to get in the max conversation.
Well, I don't think he's a max conversation guy, but at 15 points and 11 rebounds, a couple assists a game, a little over a game, you know, you are a competitive player that deserves, you know, a solid contract. I don't know exactly what he turned down. I don't know what was involved with that. But
no, he said he wanted Trae Young.
You know,
that's what he said.
The Suns without him, the Suns without him are just, you know, that's why I had the Suns drop, you know, drop to the sixth spot in the West. I would have had them higher, but he may be a disgruntled player. You know, so we'll see.
That's what we're talking about. Yeah, that's what we're talking about. Good call. All right, gentlemen.
Yeah, but that's what these players got to realize. How being disgruntled is going to help them when it comes to the negotiation table. You know, him being a disgruntled player this year does not help him at all when it comes to the contract negotiations. If he wants to be a max player, he needs to come out and have a monster season. Being disgruntled is not going to help him in any shape or form. And if you're DeAndre's agent, you have to share that information with them. Being disgruntled is not going to help you.
That's common sense. But when you're dealing with kids that are all of a sudden multimillionaires, and that's all they've been told their whole life is how great they are, they start believing it, and that's when you get the spoiled brat syndrome. No, I don't know if he's there. I'm just saying that if he is disgruntled, even just a little bit, in that tight West race, to me that drops him down in that.
Yeah.
Now, with my picks
about
right
that,
here, that would have the Phoenix Suns going against the Golden State Warriors if my top eight were right. I don't think they could beat Golden State.
Yeah.
And the only thing about that, just to put a bow on it, I think is the difference between the two is that you didn't have Chris Paul and Monty Williams and Sarver come out and be like, nah, he sucks.
Oh,
I didn't give him nothing. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, Philadelphia actually came out as their three, you know, top mouthpieces for the organization and kind of just threw Simmons under the bus. Nobody has done that for Ayton, right? They just have said, you know, we just want to give you something a little tick below that because you're not there yet, but we still will pay you. Not what you're talking about. So I hear what you're saying, Rob. There's a slight, a nuanced difference to what Philadelphia has said out in the media about Ben Simmons and what Phoenix has said about Ayton.
Oh, absolutely. I totally agree with that. No, and I totally agree that Philadelphia has to take some ownership of what happened with Ben Simmons. I mean, you just don't publicly make those kind of comments.
Right.
I totally agree. They're not helping each other. I don't think Ben Simmons is helping the Sixers to trade him because his value is extremely low right now with the way he's acting. But I agree Philadelphia has something to do with the situation as well.
True. Yep. Yeah, he definitely has value. But, you know, now they're looking at pennies on the dollar with everything that's happening as opposed to getting $82 million.
I would say not. I mean, just because he's at the end of it, now he's being suspended. Well, only for one game.
Yeah, it's just
for
a game, though.
The soap opera.
If I were the GM for the Blazers right now, I'd make him an offer for Ben Simmons. I'd give him C.J. McCollum and a first-round pick for Ben Simmons.
Absolutely. And I think they would take it at this point. Today or this week, I think they would take it.
I'll take it.
That might be the best they could do. Yeah. I agree with you.
Wow. Goodell, like I said, so clearly I do. It keeps connecting to my but, all right, gentlemen, let's have some fun here. Let's continue. Push this up. Let's talk about, you know, some Cowboys here. I want to hear Curtis and Gary's thoughts on what's happening with the Cowboys. How far do you think they can go? And we're not fucking junk, man. We're really looking at, you know, obviously Gary representing the Blazer on, and the Zoom, he's all about. But yeah, I guess the question is, how far can they go, gentlemen?
Well, you know, I said it's early in the season. JQ said, well, you're a third away through the season. But like I said, it takes some fortunate things going your way, like a calf injury with Dak or whatever it may be, or Amari. But right now, I think the Cowboys could beat any team in the league. I think the only team that I would really they would give them problems, I think, is Arizona. Arizona, with the way that kid runs around and creates plays, that's the team that I would be afraid of the most. But I like the playmakers that the Cowboys have on defense in Parsons and in which is
Diggs.
Their cornerback.
Diggs.
Yeah, Diggs. Trayvon
Diggs is a fool.
Yeah, he's a good, you know, he's right now he's defensive player of the year, hands down, I think.
Wow.
So, yeah. But I like what they're doing, and no one can stop them on offense. You know, there's only been 14 teams that have had a streak in four games, just like the Cowboys have had, scoring over 35 points, averaging over 35 points a game, and for four games straight or whatever. So, you know, they're an offensive machine, and Kellen Moore is doing a phenomenal job with that.
He may lose him.
We still have some inadequacies with the clock management and timeouts with the head coach. I don't think he, you know, if, when you're at home and you're saying timeout, 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 you're looking at the TV and the guy's just standing there.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yep.
I'm putting my name in the hat for the Cowboy coach next.
You may get it. Kellen Moore is going to be gone. Curtis, let's get Curtis in here. Curtis, what do you thought about that, Curtis?
What I want to talk about, you know, the Cowboys for me are a birthright. I was born in Wichita Falls. So at birth, I was born to be a Cowboy fan. But I'm going to be objective here. And I'm going to say in that game on Sunday, they should have blew those guys out. They really should have. They made that Ricky quarterback look good. They made that Ricky quarterback look like he belonged. And that defense has got to get a rush on. They got to get better. I've been saying that for about 3 weeks now. And I got some questions on McCarthy, their coach. And I was home all day.
We all got questions. We all got questions about McCarthy.
The speakeasy guys on the towels I was talking about. He wore out his welcome in Green Bay. His clock management, they're getting ready to take that away from him. And is he a better coach than the L.A. coach, the Kansas City coach, the Green Bay coach, the Tampa Bay coach?
Tampa.
And the answer is no. Those coaches will probably beat him if he can't figure this out right away. McCarthy is all of a sudden, for me, getting ready to turn into a weakness. And he better do better than that. He better wake up and get his nose up out of his butt and learn how to
Curtis,
get
do better.
To a
Mike McCarthy.
Hey, he talks football analytics really well in the press conferences. He really makes it sound like he knows something. But your eyes don't lie. Your eyes don't lie when you're watching him, and you know as you know, as armchair quarterbacks and, you know, lovers of the NFL, and we see these types of mistakes, that's a worrisome thing.
That's a bait and switch over there, guys. Man, I sound really intelligent. I'm over here going to give you, like, all kinds of strategy and then don't know what the hell I'm doing, man. So that's a brilliant, brilliant strategy. Go ahead, JQ.
So – And that's the number one blaring just siren going off is Mike McCarthy and I think he's going to be the one to hold him back, because if you just look at it now, like I said, we're a third of the way through and you're starting to see things level out. Seattle losing Russell Wilson and now with the record they have, so you've got the Rams and the Cardinals out west. I think Tampa Bay runs away with the South because everybody else is who they are. I think the Packers are going to end up running away with the North. I don't think anybody else comes out of that division either. So then you look at the Cowboys. So we named 1, 2, 3, 4 other teams in the West. So they're, and I don't think they're the fifth team. I think, you know, Tampa still holds the mantle to me because they're defending champs and they still have looked good. But you can make a case for Dallas and L.A. both being, you know, 2 or 3, and you know, you could probably convince me either way because I think both of those are very solid teams. Or sorry, Arizona in there, those three teams. So you know they're going to make it. Plus, NFC East is a dumpster fire. But the ability to match up with somebody with that offense and the way Parsons and Diggs are playing on defense, they're going to give themselves every chance to win once they make it to the postseason. When it comes down to third and one and 4-for-2 strategies, field goal versus going forward, managing the clock, those are the questions I have about how far Dallas can go solely because of Mike McCarthy.
Now, Cowboys fans have the same questions.
I think Gary and JQ pretty much stole everything that I was going to say, too. I firmly believe, yes, the Cowboys can beat any team in the league, but the NFC is just loaded right now. I mean, when you look at those five top-tier teams in the NFC right now, on any given Sunday, those teams can beat up on each other. So it's going to be a crapshoot. I mean, Kyler Murray is completing over 73% of his passes, which is insane for a young quarterback and his ability. And then you look at what he's doing, throwing the football and with his legs as well. Then you look at the Rams and what they're doing offensively and defensively, what the Rams are doing too. And obviously you talked about the Bucs. You still have Tom Brady. You know, what they're doing. I know they're getting a little weak in the secondary right now because of the injuries that they have. That may be the area that you can exploit Tampa Bay on right now. Then, of course, Green Bay. I mean, you got five teams in the NFC. To me, at the moment, there's only one team in the AFC that's on par with those five teams in the NFC, and that's maybe the Ravens.
Ravens.
I mean, I think the Bills will get back to that level, obviously, too. But when you look at those five teams in the NFC, I mean, you got five legitimate Super Bowl title contenders in the NFC. So it's going to be tough when you look, like I said, you got the Cardinals, the Rams, Packers, Bucks, and the Cowboys. So it's definitely going to be a crapshoot. And coaching is going to be key when it comes to that, right? You know, and obviously the Bucks got Tom Brady, who's like a coach on the field. So that kind of gives them a little bit of an advantage as well.
Good stuff, good stuff. Show some love from that too. So looks like Lou dropped off, which is cool. All right, moving on with I don't even know sometimes with that. I do want to talk about a quick recap of a great game before we talk about some baseball here, because I'm still in my feelings here. A quick recap, you were talking about the Bills, Rob, and that game between the Titans. You talked about just the crazy, like, you know, just to see, like, the way that Derrick Henry was going off and just, you know, talk about that Bills game, we'll kind of quick recap, if you will, on that.
Yeah, I mean, Derrick Henry, I think it's enough said on that game. Like, Derrick Henry was a flat beast in that game. I mean, that 76-yard one, man, that 76-yard run was just incredible. I just had that jump cut, and then boom, he just exploded past everyone.
Couldn't stop
him. I mean, that was just insane. And then, you know, his power, too. I mean, you know, he's got the burst and he's got the power. He had another serious stiff arm in that game. And then the way he just carried one of those defensive linemen on the goal line was just insane.
Yep.
He helped me win quite a few games this past weekend in fantasy football, too.
I bet he did.
I think enough said. He was just insane last night. He was running wild. I mean, three touchdowns, 140-some yards and 20 carries. But that 76-yard run was just impressive how somebody that size and has that kind of speed, and he just separated himself from everyone in that game. And, you know, you talk about Buffalo, a gutsy call at the end of the game. Obviously, hindsight 20-20. If you're Buffalo, you kick that field goal, you send the game to overtime to give the team a chance to win. I would definitely have kicked the field goal, take my chances in overtime.
Right.
You know, so obviously it's a call that's going to backfire them. Now you better hope you're not tied with the Titans when it comes to playoff time, because now you're going to lose a tiebreaker to them if you are tied with them in the playoffs. So that was crucial. I think the Bills are a better team than the Titans overall. I really do. They were just on the road to Tennessee,
Coach,
and Derrick Henry just ran wild. And, I mean, you just got to give them credit, man. You know, and throughout that game, Buffalo missed out on a few opportunities as well. And obviously Tennessee was able to take advantage of it. And like I said, all we got to do is say Derrick Henry, and enough said in that game last night.
Yeah, the ability the ability to run that fast at 250 pounds is just so ridiculously impressive. Like, you got cornerbacks and safeties that you know those dudes ran like a 4.4 at the combine, and he just left them. And then you see it, it's a game for his own. They don't want to tackle that dude because he's still coming there and he's gaining the speed, and they are tired of hitting that big dude. But you talked about you talked about Buffalo, and I agree. I think they're a better team. But you started that game. You know, you have two drives, you stall in the red zone. You get two field goals, you only up 6-0, and then boom, Derrick Henry goes for 76, and now the Titans have the lead. And it, like you said, those missed opportunities, you know, for Buffalo is what they're going to kick themselves when they watch the film. I said it like you said, you got to kick the field goal. If you're Buffalo, you're those guys, and you got that defense that has been playing so well this year, you kick that field goal, you go into overtime, and you win it, and you don't have this conversation today. I think that game goes into overtime. I think Buffalo probably wins. I'm going to put it on Ryan Tannehill. I'm going to load the box. I know A.J. Brown got off a little bit there in the second half, but, you know, you got to look at that defense and say, hey, this is what we do. We run the ball. We play defense. This is what we're going to do to win this game in overtime. So Buffalo has got to be kicking themselves. I'm with you 100%, Rob. The story for me is, first, of course, Derrick Henry. He firmly put himself in the MVP talk with that performance. But the other part is Buffalo just not being able to capitalize on opportunities. And we've seen it now twice this year when we talked about the Cowboys and what, you know, what can be their limitation. It happened with Buffalo. Yep. They should have beat Pittsburgh, and they should have beat Tennessee. They really could be undefeated. You give away games like that in the 17-game schedule, it could come back to haunt you at the end.
Yep, coaching, all that stuff.
And it's amazing the difference of one game make, right? Because prior to last night, I think most of America, including me, thought Buffalo was the best team in the NFL. And now all of a sudden, you know, I don't even think I have them in the top five right now, just off of one game. But I believe they will be back in that top five before the season is over, for sure.
They've got some chinks in the armor, for sure. Yeah, because like you said, everyone thought this. But then, like I know, you know, Curtis and Gary keep talking about, you know, and obviously everyone talked about, you know, the Cardinals and Kyler Murray. So, again, you're seeing kind of the teams start separating themselves for sure. And like you said, you know, we'll talk about the Ravens as well. But, you know, we're not so fast for the Bills. Everyone, they're the darlings, if you will, now. So it just seems like, you know, again, everyone's starting to separate themselves for sure. Good stuff, JQ. Let's move on here. We got about 27 minutes here. Let's talk. I do want to talk briefly regarding a couple situations here. We got good things. I do want to do some fantasy shout-outs, as much as I hate to admit that. I lost to Rob, but both my teams, he kind of defeated me. I was undefeated in one of my leagues, so I'll let you kind of, as much as it pains me to show you some love for that, I beat JQ, and I lose to Rob twice. But go ahead on fantasy shout-outs, Rob, if you will.
Thanks for including, man.
All right.
Barely. I barely, man. It was barely, man. Yeah.
Nah, it's okay. I'm messing with you.
I'm taking my lumps, man, all night, man. It's not good. Go ahead, Rob.
All right. Our fantasy shout-outs. Let's start with league number one. William from Madison, Wisconsin. His team, Will's team, had the biggest win of the week, 157.22 over head of table, 100.70. And Corey from Atlanta, his team, Gentilly Hot Sauce, is in first place with a 5-1 record. And league number two, Mark from New Orleans, Boxcar Willie 02, 125.72 over Pelly's 96.84. And Paul from Atlanta, his team is in place, Bears Nation, at 6-0. And one of the matchups that Andre was just talking about, league number three, my team, the biggest win of the week, Built Four Tough, beat Andre's team, Wakanda Forever, 181.76 to 115.32. And Chester from New Orleans, Kraken, his team's in first place at 6-0. And the last league number four, 18 strong, Chester from New Orleans had the biggest win of the week, 150.26 over Baby Got Backfield, 82.18. And Andre's team's in first place, Andre's Black Lives Matter team at 5-1. I gave him the first loss of the season. We still in first place.
About that one. Damn it. Freaking loss. That's why I had to come and take that. I'm taking my lumps like a true champion, but that's okay. I do want to talk about some draft picks, but I do want to get – a lot of good stuff. As much as I hate to talk about the Braves, I was going to say a really quick comment on that. So obviously, you know, Dodgers did that
to us tonight, but I did want to kind of talk about how Charlie Morton has definitely been key. And I was getting kind of nervous because he didn't have a good start, but he kind of settled himself down and just kind of proved to the young players how you can, you know, basically just kind of keep your composure and just kind of the way that he's battled back. So I think it's a really good situation to have him in the locker room to show the pitching staff how to overcome, you know, adversity, because he didn't have his best stuff. And then, you know, obviously whenever he was – we were down 2-0. We're like thinking, oh, here we go again. But he settled down and just had a really solid, you know, next couple of innings too. So it was just a way for him to show the staff, hey, even if you don't have your best stuff, this is how you kind of dig in and just bring a nice calming presence to that next staff too. So I think it'll definitely help next year. We're still in this year too, but I just think it's good to have
him. I was going to say, come on, man.
For that purpose too. I know. I'm thinking ahead like the Mike Sirocas of the world. I mean, we'll get him back and, you know, there's some other, you know, we still need some starting pitching too, but it's just, you know, we're still not done with this series yet, obviously, but just, it's just great to see him kind of just, you know, bear down and just, I was kind of excited to see that, but I'm still a little disappointed, man. I'm in my feelings, man, because I knew that we had to play the Dodgers. I'm not saying it's over, man. Just, you know, you don't want to go down that, you don't want to give the Dodgers any glimmer of hope. You want to bury them. I don't want them 3-0, you know, looks a lot better than, you know, 2-1, but that's just me, if you will, too. We kind of let them off hook, if you will. So that's what
I mean, they were five outs away from being up 3-0 in their series. I mean, they're five outs away. That's incredible over a team, you know, a team who had the second best record in Major League Baseball during the regular season. I mean, they were five outs away. And then
Bellinger
and Mookie Betts, you know, got it going. And incredible. I mean,
Mookie's always been a challenge for us. We can't seem to get that dude out, you know. So much props to him, but he's just a gnat, man. So, you know, stealing bases.
It ain't just bases.
Yeah, I'm with you. It seems like every time, like, that dude steals bases and everything like that, too. So it's just, it's all good.
But he looks better in the Dodgers uniform than the Red Sox uniform.
Yes, Lord.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. Let's let Rob talk about all them grand slams here. Let's talk about – I do want Curtis and Gary, I do want you guys to talk about your top teams, and we'll let Rob kind of, again, talk about LSU, how excited he is, and if it's an attractive job. I do want to say the top prospects, Rob, if you will. And I can't wait to talk about some preseason with college basketball, you know, what Memphis is doing. You know, you got to like Gonzaga coming out number one. But maybe we can set it for next week, too. We've got a lot of great topics to get into. But I do want to talk, Curtis Gary, about who's your top five right now in the NFL, if you will. I'll let you guys do that, and then we'll let Rob talk about LSU, if you will.
Curtis, you want to start that, your top five teams?
No, go ahead, Gary.
Okay. My top team is right now is Arizona. And then I have – just because, you know, that Murray, he just scares the hell out of me with his ability to run and pass and do what he's doing.
Everybody.
But
everybody.
As far as the next three, they can be in any order. And I've got Tampa, the Rams, and Dallas. And my fifth team is the Bills right now. Even though they lost, I still think this was mine at the end of the season, as if right now it was the end of the season. I think these teams are going to be my top five. I think the Bills are going to shine out of the AFC. And then I think it's a crapshoot, just like you had addressed earlier, Rob, with the teams in the, in the NFC. As you can see, I do have Aaron Rodgers out of the top five and Green Bay.
Shoot.
And I also have the Ravens out as well. But these are my top three.
That's tough. The Ravens proved a lot to be beating the Chargers. That was a great win by them, honestly.
I just beat them. Beat them down.
That was ass kicking. That was curb stopping right there.
I didn't see that one coming.
Yeah.
No.
But what I want to say is, but definitely – and strategy-wise, not in question, Green Bay's going to win their division. The Cowboys are going to win their division. And Buffalo is going to win their division. That loss on Monday did not hurt them a bit. And I'm talking about, look at the rest of the teams in their division and how sorry they are. Those teams are going to get, they're going to get a home game because of their situation. Now, I'm not sure who's going to win that NFC North, the Rams, Arizona, and don't count out Seattle. And don't count out San Francisco either.
Nah, Seattle.
I'm counting Seattle and San Fran now.
There's still a dog in that West.
Yeah.
Tom Brady is probably coming out of that division. So they're going to get a home game. So the way it's setting up right now, Tom Brady, Tampa Bay, Buffalo, Cowboys, Green Bay, because they're going to get home games. They're winning divisions. After that, man, oh, man, oh, man. Let's see who can win these divisions. Probably Kansas City. I'm thinking Kansas City's still going to win their division. But that's not a given. Boy, that's not
a given. Curtis.
Wow.
Curtis, who do you have coming out of the NFC West?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. It's going to have to play out. It's going to have to play out. It really is. But Arizona looks like they're ready.
Arizona's a team, bro.
Arizona still had a loss this past weekend because I thought Arizona was going to get their first loss going on that road to Cleveland. And they really showed me a lot. This past weekend. I mean, we've talked about it. You don't see too many young quarterbacks throwing for close to 75% completion percentage, and Kyler Murray is doing just that. The ball just doesn't hit the ground. He's accurate with the deep pass. He's accurate with the short game. He's moving the chains with his legs. The way he has matured at the quarterback position and got better every year since he's been in the league, it's really nice to see the job that Kingsbury and Murray are doing working together. Obviously, I have Arizona number one. I'm still not completely sold that they're going to win a division over the Rams, but for now, I have them number one. But this past weekend, they did show me a lot with the way they dominated that game on the road. And they have a better-than-average defense, and above-average defense is very underrated. Buda Baker, they got some players on that front four that's playing extremely well, too. They got some athletic linebackers as well. So this is a team that's very underrated on the defensive end as well. I know Kyler Murray's getting all the talk, and rightfully so. He's my number one candidate for MVP right now. But they have a very good defense as well. Pretty good kicker, and that goes a long way. Matt Prater is one of the better kickers in the game. And that's going to help you come playoff time, too. And what you're seeing around the league right now is so many shaky kickers. You know, having an adequate kicker is going to be really important, especially when you get to playoff time, and Arizona even have that, too. So they have a chance to really win in all three phases of the game. Number two, I'm going to go with Tom Brady, who is my second choice for MVP right now behind Kyler Murray. And obviously they're defending champs, and I mentioned this earlier. Right now, if you're going to beat the Buccaneers, if you got a strong passing game, that's going to be your way of beating them because they are really hurting in the secondary. Even guys they're signing off the street are getting hurt. Richard Sherman, he's hurt already. So a bunch of the starters already hurt.
Now the guys they signed off the street are getting hurt.
So now they're going to have to do a second load of street players to come in and play in the secondary. And that's going to be your way of beating them if you're going to have a chance to beat them. I moved the Packers up to number three. Aaron Rodgers, obviously their week one was a wake-up call, and they seem like they're getting better, and their defense is even getting better. And that was a concern early in the year that their defense was getting really pushed around. And the Ravens totally impressed with the way they just manhandled the Chargers, and they really humbled Justin Herbert this past weekend. I have them at the number four spot, and I have y'all Cowboys at the number five spot. You know, we talked about it offensively with CeeDee Lamb, Amari Cooper, and then a 1-2 punch at running back and the offensive line. And I have Dak Prescott number three right now in MVP race behind Kyler Murray and Tom Brady.
Nice.
Yeah, it's hard for me to get to five.
Yeah, no one's bitching about his contract now.
Exactly.
You know,
we shouldn't be bitching about that contract. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Jake.
Yeah, no one's bitching about him. He's came out and really played well.
Yeah.
Very happy with it.
Yeah, ahead, I won't take too much time. I think Arizona being on the team that you got to give him that nod. And I'm with Gary. I feel like, you know, with the Rams and the Bucks sitting there right behind him, I'm still not super sold on Green Bay quite yet. I can't put them up there in my top five. But I go with Arizona, the Rams. Wow, Boston is struggling. Arizona, the Rams, Tampa Bay. I still think Buffalo will be there. I think Baltimore will be there. I think Dallas will be there. Those, to me, are my six. I will put Green Bay at seven.
Nice. Okay, gotcha. Rob, we got 4 minutes. We'll give you some time to talk about LSU, man. There you go. The most attractive job. This is Dave Renata, the top candidate. Are you happy about Ed Orgeron? There you go. Finish it strong, Rob.
Well, I mean, obviously, you know, you thank him for what he did and his contribution for winning the national championship, but this is the time for him to go. Yeah, I mean, last year LSU was 5-5. Right now they're 4-3. I mean, a 500 at LSU is not going to cut it, especially when you have the top five recruiting classes every year. And when you look at the talent and personnel, and it's the second year in a row you got guys just quit on the team. You know, there's a lot of rumors that Derek Stingley is not actually hurt, that he's just really getting ready for the draft. And the same thing happened last year with Ja'Marr Chase. I know it was a COVID year. And I think he's just lost the players, and it's just time for a replacement. Do I think LSU is still an attractive job? Absolutely. I don't think there's not another Power 5 school in the state of Louisiana. And Louisiana is a top 10 football producing state when it comes to high school football talent. And there's no school that have a lock on the state talent like LSU does. So it's still one of the more attractive jobs in college football. And to a certain extent, I know LSU and USC are going to be the two most attractive jobs in college football. And to a certain extent, I'm not just saying this because I'm an LSU fan. I think LSU is a little bit more attractive job than USC just because of the stranglehold that they have on the state of Louisiana.
I agree.
You know, USC doesn't have a stranglehold on the state of California like LSU does on having Louisiana. And then you got neighboring states like Texas. LSU usually gets their share of good players out of Texas. They usually get their share of good players out of Florida as well. So I think out of the jobs that's going to be available this offseason, LSU will be the most attractive job available, with USC being number two, obviously. And, you know, who's going to be that coach, you know? I think they definitely should kick the tires with Joe Brady. I think you definitely kick the tires with Dave Aranda, although Joe Brady may be a sexier splash for the team. And obviously the athletic director, Scott Woodward, he came from Texas A&M, and he hired Jimbo Fisher at Texas A&M. So you know they're going to at least have a conversation with Jimbo Fisher as well. So I think they're going to look for a big-time splash, and I think they're going to get it. I don't know who it's going to be yet, but I think they're going to get a big-time football coach from the LSU. And you like to see USC get a big-time coach too, because I think the Pac-12 is more exciting when USC is good too as well. But ladies and gentlemen, I think you guys recognize that music. That is the end of our live portion of the show. We thank you all for tuning in to another great edition of Talking Sports with 12th Man. Hopefully you guys enjoyed it. We're going to have a brief OT portion of the show. So click on the same link the rest of the week to get the rest of the show. And we'll be back at you live on next Tuesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, Chicago. Send me some deep dish pizza, Chicago. And then on the West Coast, that's going to be 8 Pacific Standard Time. For our friends in our friendly city of Fresno. Good night, people.
Yeah, Coach O was wilding, boy. He was out there hitting on the pregnant wife of an LSU administrator and bringing the side chick to practice. I said, oh, no, Coach O. You can't never do that. But I agree. LSU, with all that in-state talent, without any recruiting, you know, really they're recruiting against Alabama to keep those kids in Louisiana. That's a great destination for a coach. So I agree with Rob on that. They're going to get somebody they really want. I don't think Dave Renata is going to be a sexy enough pick for the LSU fan base. They're going to want a Joe Brady or a Jimbo Fisher. They're going to want somebody real super sexy to come in there. Mm-hmm. And he's got a history of doing that. So I foresee that happening. I think USC has got to have a little more to do because they got to deal with UCLA in their own city. And then you got to feel like Oregon also raised the hell out of California as well. So we'll see what USC does. But I think LSU, to me, is far and away a better job than USC is right now.
Yeah, the only downside to LSU's job is they're in the same division with Alabama. But other than that, that's the only downside to the job.
Yeah, but that might be temporary because you get Texas and Oklahoma in there. I talked to folks about it here, and they don't want to hear it. But if they realign the conferences, the teams that would necessarily geographically would go east would be Alabama and Auburn. So you may not have Alabama in the West any longer with Texas and Oklahoma coming in.
That is so true. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that is true.
Good deal. We're officially OT, so we're going to go around with you guys pick a topic. Curtis, Gary, you guys pick your topic. JQ, Rob, pick your last topic, and we'll wrap it up too. So we'll start West Coast. You guys pick anything you want to talk about, and we'll wrap this episode up.
Curtis, go ahead. What do you want to talk about?
Okay, you want me to talk about the highest paid employee in the state of Washington. The highest paid employee in the state of Washington was football coach. The football coach got fired this week because he refused to get the COVID shot. He tried to get it
for the Cougars.
Exception. It failed for him, and he. In my opinion, he's supposed to be a leader of young men. And he failed in that leadership for being the highest paid employee in Washington State. And failed in that leadership on that issue alone. So, yes, I agree with that firing. Good firing, and I'm trying to figure out how stupid, lose a job as the Washington State football coach on that issue.
Yeah.
What?
I read that, and I'm like, He was trying to claim, religious reasons and stuff, and that's fine. But they didn't buy it, and he was terminated. I agree, he failed. He failed these young guys. Some people would say he didn't. I say he did. But I don't think Jimbo Fisher is sexy either, though, like JQ apparently does.
He got a national title. He got a national championship.
Yeah, he most definitely in the playoffs last year.
That doesn't
too,
make
to
him
honest.
Sexy.
I thought Texas A&M
should have
been in the playoffs last year.
I don't know if you know what the word sexy
Dame.
Means, but
well, I mean, I'm not talking about from a physical standpoint, I think Jimbo might look up and be like, I got way better chance of winning the SEC at LSU than I do at Texas A&M. So I wouldn't be shocked with that.
Yeah.
And he used to be an offensive coordinator at LSU, so he's got a track record at LSU, too. He coached at LSU under Nick Saban as well as Les Miles.
That's right. I forgot about that. He sure did.
But
I just got two quick ones because they tied in together. I'm going to find out about my Bengals this week. Yeah, it's been cute. I've been able to wear my jerseys and I feel a little good about myself at 4-2. We're going to find out this week what those Bengals are made of when they go play the Ravens. I think the Ravens win because what they did to the Chargers was just pure dismantling, and I didn't see that coming. The only thing the Bengals have maybe is that they are still, feeling themselves after that. But that is going to be a really good litmus test for them to see where they stand, mm-hmm. because like we talk about people starting to separate, I think you might see the Ravens start to separate in that AFC North. I would say the Cleveland would go with them, but like Rob talked about, they've got so many injuries. I don't know what's going to happen with them. They've got to turn around in a short week here and play on Thursday. Mm-hmm. So a good litmus test. And for the AFC Rookie of the Year, I think for me, it would be Michael Parsons and Jamar Chase. But, you know, we got two-thirds of the season left. We'll see what happens. But those would be my picks right now.
Thanks.
Yeah, I like Jamar Chase, and I'll tell you another guy to watch would be Rondale Moore from Arizona. He's getting hot right now too. And but to me, Jamar Chase, when you look at the number of deep ball catches he has already, I know he's got a few drops this far of the season, but when you look at the deep ball catches Jamar has gotten this year, you know, I think I sent you guys a picture, like the best rookie season after six games as a wide receiver since 2005, I believe it is. So just insane what he's doing, you know, so far, you know, so far this season. Not just saying that because of the LSU. I know y'all are going to think I'm being biased.
No, he's having a for real year. And I say that, and I know you think I'm biased as being a Bengals fan, but if you look at his numbers, like he's having a for real season, but it helps to have his, you know, his old quarterback at LSU throwing the ball.
Yep. He's getting separation. I mean, it seems like he's getting these deep passes. You know, same thing you saw it in college, and he's doing it already in the pros as a rookie, even after taking last year off, I'm sorry. I'll just touch on the college basketball quickly. I did do an updated top 32. You know, our listeners can check that out on our Talking Sports with the 12th Man Facebook page. But just to, you know, touch on the college basketball season, obviously Gonzaga again, looking at number one preseason ranking. They got Drew Timmy coming back on that team. And they got the number one recruit coming out of Minneapolis. 2 years in a row, they got the number one high school recruit coming out of Minneapolis. So now how does Gonzaga get the top high school recruits is unbelievable. But they have become a pure. They are, you might as well consider them a blue blood in college basketball now, because they are just getting, you know, the big time recruits. And when you go down to conferences, UCLA looks like a clear favorite after making a Final Four in the Pac-12. The Big 12, even though they're about to be dismantled as a conference, basketball-wise, I mean, Kansas, Texas, and Baylor look like they're going to be in the top 10. Kansas looked like the favorite to win the conference this year. They got four starters coming back, and they got Remy Martin, a guy coming from the transfer portal. As far as top-heavy, I think the Big 10 is going to be the best conference from top to bottom, but top-heavy, the Big 12 is going to be the best conference with Kansas, Texas, and Baylor, defending national champion. And Jay Wright at Villanova, he's going to do it again for the Big East. I mean, Villanova has won two out of the last five national championships. They won seven out of the last eight Big East championships, and they've got some big-time recruits coming in as well. So they're going to be the clear favorite. And then, of course, JQ just loves to hear this word, Michigan. They're going to be the favorites in the Big Ten this year. The Big Ten has got a lot of depth. When you look at Michigan, when you look at Illinois, when you look at Ohio State, you look at Maryland. They got a lot of depth in the Big Ten conference this year. But Juwan Howard is going to have his team as the favorite. And then to round out the ACC and the SEC, unfortunately, a word I hate hearing is Duke, but they're going to be the favorites of winning the ACC this year. Obviously, Hubert Davis' first year at North Carolina, so it's going to be interesting to see what happens. And Kentucky, Kentucky's got a different model this year. You know, normally every year they come in with these blue-chip recruits, and they have them this year. But they also got four pretty good transfers coming in from the transfer portal. So a little bit different philosophy this year for John Calipari than what he normally has. So I think that's going to make them a real sleeper team this year, and I think they're going to be back on the top of the SEC. But you definitely want to watch Arkansas and Alabama. And then, of course, Andre mentioned it earlier, Memphis. So it's going to be really interesting to watch Anthony Hardaway.
Imani Bates. He's got two blue chip.
Imani Bates. He's got two blue chip freshmen coming in this year. with Jalen Duran and Imani Bates. And right now they're preseason number 12, but they're going to be a team to watch. It's going to be really interesting to see what Anthony Hardaway does with those teams. The last time he had these elite players, James Wiseman got suspended after like 3 or 4 games. So I think he's getting the players to go to Memphis. So let's see if he can keep these guys intact and see what kind of team he has this year.
Hey, Rob, isn't that crazy that you have a staff of Rasheed Wallace and Larry Brown? Can you imagine, like, you know, that's your coaching staff. That's insane. Like, how many technicals can you get, like, from the bench, man? That would be hilarious, man, to see what's happening with Rasheed Wallace and then Larry Brown, man. So that's your coach, man. You got to take you one-on-one. Like, man, that's insane, man. That'd be a fun coaching staff, I would say, honestly. So, you know.
Rasheed Wallace is like a different person than suit and tie on a bench, though, right? He's that volatile player waiting to get a technical foul. I want to see how many technicals he's going to get in an assistant coach.
That's what I was talking about.
Yeah, now,
well, what he is going to do is when there's some bullshit technical foul and the guy misses his shot, he's going to be the one that yells out, "The ball don't lie."
Ball don't lie.
That was the name of one of my fantasy basketball teams 1 year. Ball
mark
don't
my
lie.
Words.
Ball don't lie. Yeah, that's a good stat for sure. But yeah, good stuff, man. We talked about a couple of situations with that. Like Villanova, like you said, they get Colin Gillespie back, which is great because of COVID. So, you know, again, that's going to be interesting to see that. Your boys, Ohio State, you like what they be getting from their JQ? I know they got, I think they got like a point coming back too. I got to check. I was looking at something about them, like EJ Lito or something like that. But yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to be curious. It's going to be cool.
Yeah, you know.
But
UC is my basketball school, and we don't suck. So, I mean, I whenever they're on TV, I want them to do well because whenever they suck, it doesn't matter. As long as Ohio State on TV, if something happens, I'm going to get 100,000 text messages. What's going on with your boys? So, you know, I hope they do well. I mean, but Dwight Howard, he's just got that allure. Five and then going back there and being the coach, he's got a son coming in to play there. They're going to be a whole problem as long as Juwan is the head coach.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, what do you know? Cincinnati is ranked higher than Ohio State in football, and Ohio State's going to be ranked higher than Cincinnati in basketball. So.
Yeah, it's just welcome to 2021.
Welcome to 2021. Yeah. Man, hey, Cincinnati, Mike Garner. Cincinnati's got a couple of guys climbing into that first round category when it comes to draft stock too. So they might have 2 or 3 guys going to first round, in the top 32.
Yeah, yep. I hope so. Hopefully it works out. And you know what's funny is getting down here. I don't want to extend the show, you know, but it's like the boys. You see, they're number 2. You think they could be Georgia and Alabama? I'm like, hell no. They would not be Georgia and Alabama. You know, they're a great story, and I love to see it from Luke Pickles. He's a really good dude, so I'll say alum. And it's good for the Big 12, they're moving into the Big 12, but, you know, there's such a talented discrepancy between them and a Georgia team that, you know, they're going to only at best get in as a 4 seed. You know, they're not going to put them in as 2, even if they went out. And they're going to get Georgia or Alabama in the first round, and you're going to see the difference of talent between, you know, the AAC and the SEC.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, Georgia's clearly the number 1 team in the country. I think everybody else is fighting for second place right now, even Alabama. I mean, you look at Alabama, they lost to Texas A&M team that lost to Mississippi State. I mean, I know Alabama just trounced Mississippi State this past weekend, but Alabama's lost to Texas A&M, and they barely lost to Florida. You have to wonder how good Florida is now after seeing them lose to LSU. You saw them get manhandled by Kentucky. And so how good Nick Saban's team is going to be in it in the end. No, I mean, yeah, I'm not saying that, but, you know, this Alabama lost to Texas A&M, and they almost lost to Florida.
Good stuff. Yeah. All right, teams. All right, guys. It's been a pleasure. Again, appreciate you taking the time to, again, use this as therapy. I'm still getting over phrase. Hopefully they'll do some stuff, man. Don't disappoint us, man. We got to beat the Dodgers, man. I knew we were going to play the Dodgers, man. We got this, man. So let's do
game
this, man.
Game 4 tomorrow, so you don't have to wait long for the next game.
I know.
That's
how we
go on.
Yeah. Go ahead and wrap this up, Rob.
Ladies and gentlemen, we thank you all for tuning in to another great edition with Talking Sports with the 12th Man. It's been another great show, another fun show. We're going to be back at you on next Tuesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 10 p.m. Central Time, 9 p.m. in JQ's favorite city of Albuquerque. And on the West Coast, make sure you join us at 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Don't talk like those country people when they say specific time. No, it's Pacific time.
Oh, here you go.
Dick, you know what I'm talking about. You've been into the Alabama corridor.
Oh, yeah. I know all about that I-10 corridor down in Alabama, Mississippi. They're hilarious. All day in the morning.
I was driving through Alabama. Same thing happened. I got pulled over by a cop. He said, Auburn or Alabama? I said, Alabama. He's like, have a good day. That was my listen for the day.
Wow.
I was like, I got to take Alabama.
I can believe
that's
it.
That's probably the safer way to go. So I got lucky.
That's tricky.
Craziness.
Yeah.
Wow. I know, that's tricky. You look. Good thing you guessed right.
I know.
Mm-hmm. If you're in the Birmingham, Tuscaloosa area, 9 times out of 10 is going to be Alabama. Obviously, if you're in the Auburn Montgomery area, you better answer Auburn.
Oh, absolutely.
But
War Eagle.
But if you're down south of Mobile, that could go either way.
Yeah, it could go either way
in Mobile.
I was in Birmingham, Tuscaloosa. I was driving.
Oh, okay.
I was like.
And believe it or not, Mobile could even go LSU. It could be LSU, Auburn, or Alabama, Mobile.
Mm-hmm. That's true. That's a whole lot of Saints fans in Mobile.
It was not a fun scenario.
A whole lot of Saints fans in Mobile. Yeah. Hey, LSU went from sugar to shit.
All right, I'm going to bed. You stupid, Rob.
Gentlemen, have a good evening. We'll see you guys same time next week. Peace. Good night,
guys. All right, y'all.